Good morning, everyone. Now that I am up front here, I can see everybody. And visiting and preaching at a different church is kind of like going on a blind date. You're not really sure what the building looks like or what the people are like. But we know that we share the same spirit, that we're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And I pray that the message that the Lord has put on my heart today will be a message that encourages you and strengthens you, builds you up and edifies you. Let's pray before we get started. Lord, you are our God. We are your people. And here together, Lord, we continue to worship you as we hear a word, Lord. Each person, Lord, will hear a different word because of the power of your Holy Spirit. You have desired, Lord, to impress upon us today something for us to take with us, to think on, and to put into practice in this world. We thank you that today we are part of a larger world fellowship, and we thank you, Lord, that someday we will stand and be part of the multitude before your throne and before the Lamb. Pray you will bless our time together, Lord. And again, Lord, that your spirit would just move freely among us, that we would be attentive and open. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today on World Fellowship Sunday, there is no more appropriate, there's no stronger image than this image in Revelation about the multitude. This is an image that's full, it's holy, it's complete. A great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches, proclaiming victory in their hands. And they cry out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." In a book called Apocalypse and Allegiance, Nelson Crable writes, "True worship of God transcends time, culture, language, and nation." He says that when we worship God, we join a vast multitude of saints from all peoples, all nations, all eras of history. And when we can see ourselves as part of this multitude, it makes us less likely to idolize our own countries. We are less likely to let issues and perspectives from this generation eclipse the shared wisdom of saints throughout all the ages. Now, when you say a quote from a book, it's full and it's rich. And then they can't imagine that you can capture all of this. But worship of God and envisioning ourselves as part of this multitude on World Fellowship Sunday, what it does to us is it makes us less individualistic. It makes us less worried about those things that are right before us, and it places us in a stream, a time, a river. It places us in the fullness of trusting God and believing that we are part of something much larger, much stronger. We are part of a future that we can only imagine at this point. And the Bible says that the multitude has so many people that no one could count it. People from every era, time, and space. People from all tribes and peoples and languages. People who were faithful. The question is asked, who are they? John asks, who are they? And in Revelation 7:14, it says, they are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the ones who have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. They are us, or who we will be. They cry out salvation belongs to our God. We cry out. We cried out this morning through our singings and our prayers. Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. The multitude is the culmination of the work of God and the Lamb and the Holy Spirit. It is the gathering of the saints in the presence of God, and it heralds the beginning of a new heaven and a new earth where we will live in the presence and glory of God. In the meantime, because we live in the meantime, we live our lives in step with God's Spirit. The worship songs that were chosen for today, they already preached essentially the sermon. We already affirmed and confirmed those things that we already believe about God's Spirit. Romans 8 says, if we hope what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Over the years, I've thought and I've said to a few people, I believe that the Spirit of God is working hard to bring us, all believers, back together in unity. And I think about the prayer of Jesus in John 17, that those who believe in Jesus' name would be one day be one, like God and Jesus were one, and that the believers' unity would be a testimony to the world. I think the apologies from the Lutherans to the Mennonites after 500 years, I think about Mennonite churches who are involved in local ministeriums, for the good of their community, to provide Christian witness, and our celebration today, World Fellowship. All those things, I believe, are signs of the Spirit of God working very hard, despite us sometimes, a lot of times, most of the time, to pull us together, to bring us together. Last night, after I'd gone to bed and I was trying to go to sleep, I thought, duh. The Holy Spirit is pulling together the multitude, the followers of the Lamb, those who have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ and are being drawn together and built up and unified by the power of the Spirit and the Spirit work in our lives. The theme today is the Holy Spirit transforming us. This theme was chosen by the Kenyan Mennonite Planning Committee to remind us that the Holy Spirit is constantly at work, transforming us and molding us into the pattern of Christ. The Spirit of God is a spirit of prophecy with vision and wisdom from Joel. The Spirit of God names sin and calls for justice, as in from Micah that was read this morning. I'll reread them again, because they're all very short, and they were all read all together. So I'll reread them. The Spirit of God is a spirit of mission that bears witness to the gospel and Acts. And the Spirit of God is a spirit of reconciliation that unites the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians. The coming of the Holy Spirit resulted in power. And the coming of the Holy Spirit brings justice and might, and the coming of the Holy Spirit requires us to be spokespersons for God's justice, power, and might. When I read over the resources on the Mennonite World Conference website, I read this one statement that kind of jarred me a little bit. So I'm going to read it to you and think about how does it sound to you. Today, the churches in the global south are especially attentive to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Our brother this morning mentioned that a little bit too, right? What about the North? Or the West, like people called us, right, in North America? What about us? Today, do we expect God to speak to us through the power of his Spirit? Do we expect to be nudged towards justice? Do we expect God's dynamite power to flow through us? Do we expect God's Spirit to call us to repentance for sin in our own lives? Do we expect healing? Do we expect to speak in tongues as a personal prayer language or in the congregation to be interpreted by another person? Do we expect God's Spirit to draw us closer as a church community, breaking down barriers and misunderstandings that we have allowed to divide us? I'm sure not here, but in most of the churches I've been in, we allow misunderstandings and we allow disagreements to fester instead of allowing God's Spirit to break them down through transformation. Often, most of the time, with us first. Do we expect God's Spirit to blow in today, empowering us to do more than we ever imagined? I expect God's Spirit to do the heavy lifting today. I have sought the Lord, and I am bringing to you a word based on my study of God's word. But it is the Holy Spirit today that is at work in you. It is the Holy Spirit today that will reveal and translate and make connections in your life. It's the Holy Spirit who will invite you and empower you to faithful obedience. I'm not sure that if you do this here, but as our brother Bun mentioned, I do hope to have some space after the sermon for you to respond. Because my word is incomplete. My word is just for me. God's word to you will make it complete. So let's reread the verses from this morning. And then I'll have a few more comments and then be ready to share as God leads you, as God's Spirit leads you. Joel 2:28. Then afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. The Spirit of the living God is a spirit of prophecy, of vision, and wisdom. It is not just for some of us. It is poured out on all of us. And the word prophecy does not mean to predict the future. Word prophecy is simply a speaking of truth as God has revealed it to you, as the Spirit has revealed it to you. Micah 3:8 says, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin." The Spirit of God names sin, starting right here, and then moving out. Okay, so if you are the Spirit of God and Spirit is convicting you of sin all the time, because we sin all the time, right? And the Spirit of God calls for justice. There are so many things around us that are unjust. The fact that we are all mostly here, white people, means that we have benefited from injustice, that we benefit every day from injustice. We are called to make things right. We are called to do the right thing whenever we can. We start small. But the Spirit of God will show you those things. Acts 1:8, You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Spirit of God is a spirit of mission, a spirit of witness, a spirit of sharing the gospel, is a call to go out, to share the good news, to multiply through the making of disciples. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now we're kind of in a strange place with this whole sharing the gospel. Let me try to explain. It used to be, to share the gospel, you could, you know, go to another country, right? I mean, my parents spent 18 years, our family spent 18 years in other countries. We were sharing the gospel. It was clear. And everybody who supported us were helping us share the gospel. And, you know, we used to have a lot of, you know, tent meetings and meetings where you were sharing the gospel. You'd go out and you'd hand out tracts and you'd be very open that this is what I'm doing. I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now sharing the gospel has become so different because so many people have already heard the gospel. But it's been so changed and so twisted, and there's so many versions out there that sometimes it takes a long time of friendship and walking with a person that before you can really share the good news with them. You have to have a relational authority with them. You build your authority, you build your privilege, your desire, your ability to share the good news based on your relationship with a person. You almost have to prove yourself before you can share the good news, right? You have to. It's moved more from word and deed to word and deed, right? We have to live our faith, but it still is part of our calling as a spirit. We just have to figure out how we can do it. Because there still are so many people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ that need that transforming power in their lives. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For in the one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one spirit. The spirit of the God brings reconciliation that unites the body of Christ. You probably have heard a lot of sermons on this one, so I'm just going to leave it there. The Holy Spirit is not a gift that God gives to indwell only one person or one particular kind of people. The Holy Spirit indwells all of us who truly believe in one true God. We were given one spirit to drink. Okay. Now, if your website is up to date, may or may not be, is it pretty much up to date? Okay. Your mission here at Percosy Mennonite is to model Jesus. Okay, you recognize that? Okay, good. How does the Spirit of God work with us, with you, to accomplish that? Your vision is, as we model the life of Jesus, we seek to be a joyful, growing church which invites all to worship and celebrate God's love. So the Spirit of God is steeping you with those fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace. A joyful, growing church invites all to worship and celebrate God's love. We seek to be, your website says, and maybe you too, a community of faith with a creative spirit that honors and accepts who we are as Anabaptist Mennonites. The Holy Spirit unifies this community. We already read that we all are baptized into one body through the Spirit. And there is no one more creative and free than the Holy Spirit to bring this which you are desiring, which is your vision, a creative spirit that honors and accepts who we are as Anabaptist Mennonites. And there is no place in which we find greater acceptance for who God has created us to be as Anabaptist Mennonites than within that place of the Spirit of God. You say we seek to be a committed people, faithfully serving God through word and deed, both locally and globally. The Holy Spirit guides us to faithful living, and if we are attentive to God's Spirit, we can become precision instruments in God's hands to share the good news of Jesus in word and deed. We talked about how different it is to be a witness and share the good news. What I've found is the Holy Spirit knows exactly when and where you have to be to share the good news with someone. The Holy Spirit knows exactly when your friend's heart is open and ready. The Holy Spirit knows exactly when a word is needed. So as we serve God through word and deed, our immersion, our attentiveness to God's Spirit is what allows us to be precise and to be used as precision instruments. The Spirit of God speaks all languages and gives us the ability to be culturally and intraculturally sensitive as needed. And the last thing you say is that we seek to be a fellowship which values time spent together in fun and interaction. That's nice. And fellowship, the three in one is all about fellowship, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They model fun, healthy fellowship for us. And so, although the Holy Spirit is not specifically mentioned in your mission, your vision, or your core value statement, there is no way that Percy Mennonite, that your community, can hold true and put into practice this core statement, a worshiping Anabaptist community, caring for one another, advocating for peace and justice, welcoming all people to experience God's love as we encourage each other to model the life of Jesus. There's no way you can hold true to that and put it into practice without the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And in that freedom, I invite you to share. I know there's always one or two people that always share, so why don't you just get up and just go ahead and get the party started. That's true of all churches. And we have a roving mic, so you don't even have to get up from your seat.
What an introduction to my sharing for today. Remember last week I told you, if you were here, that I wanted to wait. This is why, I guess. I don't know what to say except that I attend, I see a spiritual mentor, Wanda, every month, and for the past year, I've often asked her, you know, I feel fulfilled with all that I'm doing in my home, but I have this yearning to do more, and I don't know what it means. And here, you all got to this paper.